Blog Talk Radio.
Talk about the Writers of the Future contest. He's going to talk about some workshops and some of the great stuff that's going on right now. Hi, John. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Sherry. It's great being back with you again.
Oh, it's always fun to hear about all the excitement of the Writers of the Future contest. I was supposed to go one year, but unfortunately I was ill, but it was like somebody sent me a bunch of pictures. It's like the Oscars.
It's totally like the Oscars of science fiction and fantasy. And what's really exciting for us is that because it's the contest, it's, you know, we publish a volume every year, and we just finished publishing volume 34. Right now, those 12 winners that get published in the volume over the last 4 years have each become national best-selling authors because of the volume of sales and acceptances of these books. It's so gratifying that was the original purpose of the contest when started back in 1983 by L. Ron Hubbard, that's being realized. That's the last four volumes, each one, all 12 of the writer winners, and for that matter, all 12 of the illustrator winners are now national bestsellers. So we're very, very excited about that.
That's really cool. That's one thing that I didn't know about until I started interviewing. We didn't mention this when we were talking earlier, but can you tell how long the illustrators have been a part of it and how that works? Do they submit their pictures? I mean, do they know what the short stories are that they're submitting their stuff for?
Absolutely. So I'll give you, here's a bit of an overview of how it started. After the contest started in 1983, and it was actually after the release of Battlefield Earth by Owen Hubbard. It was getting back into science fiction, celebrating 50 years as a writer, because that book did so well. He'd spent a lot of time in the 30s and 40s writing articles for aspiring writers to help them out on what to do to break in. He was actually even the president of the New York chapter of the American Fiction Guild. And so he created the contest and launched it, and we had Algis Budrys, who was a very, very famous editor who took off as the coordinating judge for Writers of the Future, and that's what launched it with a bunch of the fellow writers of the time period that were compatriots to L. Ron Hubbard. And so they started it. The contest itself grew quite rapidly, and at the get-go, we hired illustrators to illustrate stories because in the 30s and 40s, you know, in the Pulp Fiction era, short stories had illustrations, and it carried forward with Astounding and Analog, and, you know, you'll have a few illustrations there. So that kept in, and then an idea came up after the fifth year to start an illustrator contest where the writer winners had their stories sent to winners of an illustrator contest. And so the way that works is that illustrators, and again, they can't be, it's qualified in the back of the book and on the website what qualifies and what disqualifies you. They send three pieces of art, and it's got to be illustrations, not just pictures, but illustrations. And then the judges choose the winners from there. And then those 12 winners are sent the winning stories, and they're commissioned to then illustrate the winning to illustrate those 12 stories. Then, at the awards event, right now, which is held in April, the book is published and it's got the 12 winning stories in it. But then, the illustrations of those 12 stories are all judged by the judges, and the winning of those is the grand prize winner for the illustrator contest. So that's pretty much how it goes. So it's been going on now for 30 years for the illustrator contest, and the writer contest has been 35 years. So it's been very, very successful. The 35th year, which is one we're in right now, is over at the end of September is when that finishes for the 35th year. So it's been very, very successful, and it works really, really well. You've got these amazing artists get their opportunity to be introduced to the world of publishing, and then, of course, the 12 writers that get their launch for their careers.
That is just amazing. I mean, I'm lucky. One of my best friends in the world is a wonderful illustrator. So I just say, hey, I need this, and she goes, okay, and from a simple description, she does exactly what I want. Do the writers get to work with the illustrators? I mean, is it a collaborative thing, or is it just something that they think up by them? Are they sent the story and they create their illustrations?
Yeah, what it is there might be some collaboration, but not usually. What we have is they're sent the story and they're asked to read it, and if they have any questions, they get it cleared up by the editor back here at the office at Writers of the Future. And then we've had our various judges acting as art directors to direct them on what they're doing. So they'll send in, I think they do three, four, or five sketches, and then they get submitted then to the art director, who says, okay, go with this and do this and do that. So they actually get some proper art direction, and then they finish their piece. And then one of the really one of the main highlights of the awards week when people come out and for the whole workshop is there's one of the nights, because there's two workshops. There's a writer workshop and an illustrator workshop. And there's one day after, it's been going on for a while, where the illustrators set up their paintings that they did, or their illustrations of the stories, and they're put on easels in a room, and the illustrators stand around the outside of a semicircle. Then we open the doors, and all the writers come in. And the writers have to go in and pick their illustration. It's just the pictures. There's nothing else with it. And they go then, because the idea of an illustration is it tells a story, they go and they walk right up. They say, okay, that's mine, that's mine. And then the artist comes out, and they introduce themselves, and they meet each other. And it's one of the most tender, heartwarming. You know, you've got the tears, you've got the hugs. Because for the writer to have their story brought to visual life by a professional artist, and to have an artist have their work seen, recognized, and admired by someone else other than mom and dad is a really touching moment. And so it makes some of the best starts of great relationships. And there's been many projects that have followed as a result where you've got the writers and artists team up to do books, you know, where the artist does the cover, or they do picture books where the illustrator illustrates and the story writes the stuff. It's the start of several of great projects that have happened from that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So take us through what a contestant goes through when they enter the workshop,
okay.
The writer work.
Sure. So what we have is the year is broken up into four quarters. It starts October 1st and goes to the end of December, and then it's January through March, April through June, and then July through September. And every quarter, there are three winners that are chosen out of the submissions. And so what we have is we have all the entries they can be either submitted online, because we have at writersofthefuture.com. You can go and you can upload your story. It is a whole, you create an account and you upload it, because what actually makes it to the judges is just the story itself and a number. They have no idea if it's male, female, age, nationality, ethnic, anything. It's just you're judged strictly upon the merit of your work. And we don't even find out where they're from or anything about them until the judges say, okay, number 67, 253, you know, they give the numbers, and that's when we find out who actually the winner was. So there's no judging other than judging the quality of the story. And for the illustrator contest, the judging the quality of the art. So then the contest administrator calls them and says, hey, congratulations. And they're told that they're a winner. And then we arrange for them. They get their, you know, if we have to arrange visas wherever they're from. Last year we had winners from eight different countries. So we arrange wherever we have to, and then they get flown in for a week-long workshop. And in that workshop, it's taught by Dave Farland, Dave Wolverton, you know, Dave Farland's his pen name, and Tim Powers. And so they're both major award-winning authors. So they teach the workshop, and then the last 2 days of the workshop, we have all of our other judges coming in who then will give, you know, their little talks. So you've got like Orson Scott Card will talk about, he's really good with words. He's such a word meister and how to create, you know, structure. And then you've got Eric Flint, who won the contest, and he's got his whole series that he does on alternate history stuff. So he's great with that. Nnedi Okorafor, who's got, right now she's just on a rocket ride of success, and so she'll come in and she'll speak. Sean Williams, he talks about his stuff. He's one of the winningest science fiction writers from Australia. And then you've got like Mike Resnick and Brandon Sanderson is now, he comes and teaches on it because he's a judge. Rob Sawyer. So you got all these different people that come and teach, and they give their different take on their successes. Because it's not like you've got, this is how you write. There are certain basic stable references that are used across the boards, and a lot of them are based upon articles that were written by Orrin Hubbard that he wrote actually in the 30s and 40s for Writer's Digest and a few other publications on how to come up with story ideas and how to get creative and even what's the best type of writing to do, because he did the business of writing. So they teach that in the workshops, but then you've got Tim Powers, who will take a year or two to write a book, whereas Kevin Anderson will dictate a book in a period of a couple months. So you've got two different, you know, ways of, you know, long and the short. Not, one isn't better or worse than the other. They're just different. And then how do you write fantasy? How do you write epic fantasy versus short fantasy? How do you write hard sci-fi versus just speculative fiction versus, you know, all the different types of science fiction and fantasy? They're exposed to professionals in all those different aspects and avenues of science fiction and fantasy. So they go like, well, I like that, and I like that, because it's not like you have to write this way. It's like these are ways that have been successful, each of them. So you can pick what works for you and find out what others did and maybe evolve your writing style. So then they do that. And then one of the things that happens at the Writers of the Future workshop is they're given 24 hours to write a story. And that's a definite it's a point where they kind of realize that I can do it. And they realize that they're, okay, I'm a pro because I can, they get these different tools and drills that they've accomplished that are taught from original workshop put together by Algis Budrys using these essays that were written by Orrin Hubbard that they put together on how to, by going out and they start off, they're given these little inconsequential objects they look at that they, you know, it could be a broken doorknob. It could be here's a marble, here's a little magnifying glass, little things like that. They go to a library and learn how to research a subject. Then they go on the street and they meet a stranger. They can't say they're writing a book. They just have to meet a stranger and get in communication with them. Then they come back and they put those three things together and they're able to write a story in 24 hours. And then some of the stories get workshopped and they get, like I said, then they've got their the rest of the workshop, which I've already gone over there, and they come out with an amazing realization that, wow, I can actually write. And this whole idea of writer's block, you know, here's the handling for that. You just, it's an actual technology in how to write and how to create. So they get that. And then there's just, you're talking about the Oscars. Then there's the big, amazing, you know, Oscar-style gala award ceremony that takes place where we have hundreds of fans come in. It's a black tie event, and it's a serious recognition for their achievement as award winning of having won the contest. And there's the number of entries increases every quarter. We have more people than the last quarter, and there's thousands of entries that come in. And so it's at this point right now when we had like Tom Doherty a few years ago, we recognized him with a Lifetime Achievement Award. He's a publisher of Tor. So he publishes pretty much every judge that we've got already, and they almost have first dibs on all the winners because they know that these guys are the cream of the crop. So it's such an amazing program right now. And over the, you know, the 34 years now, we've had, you know, almost 500 writer winners and published finalists, 336 have gone on with their writing career, publishing at least one story, and 192 are still active with a writing career. So over 40% of the people that have won the contest are still active with a writing career, which is just fantastic statistics.
That's amazing. Do you teach them how to, like, how two authors would come together to collaborate on a book, or is that part of the workshop?
Yeah, well, for a long time we had, you know, when before Jerry passed away, Jerry and Larry would do their workshop. You know, they'd teach some stuff and how they work together. We used, you know, Kevin Anderson and Rebecca Mesta, they're our writing team. So we definitely go over that. Mike Resnick, because he's probably hired more winners than anybody as a for his online magazine, and he one of the things he does is he pairs up new winners with established authors and getting them working together on writing projects. So that's one of the things we definitely work on. And then we have a few people that talk about their experience on working together as a writer and an artist. And then one thing, too, like go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask, since people are so different, especially when they're artists, how do they match up the people to collaborate? I mean, when people I've interviewed have sort of found each other accidentally. One of the authors got an email from who turned out to be his collaborator saying, well, I love your book, but, you know, I could help you with certain parts of it. And they got talking and they became a best-selling team. But that was by accident. How do they figure out how they mesh?
Well, part of the thing is because the judges themselves are really well-established professionals. Like Echo Chernick is the coordinating judge for the Illustrator Contest. She herself, a lot of people, if you've been anybody's been tracking the name of the win card deck that just. It's at least all the conventions right now, that's a big thing. They're getting these new cards for Name of the Wind. She designed every one of those cards collaborating with Pat Rothfuss. So she's already got a sense of, because she works for major labels, major corporations, all of the Celestial Seasons, those great packages, those are all designed by her. So she works already with other how to work with corporations and other people and how to make fits work. So by looking at the art, she can see what type of an artist they are, what type of how they tell a story and from the illustration, because they've submitted three pieces. So they'll try to match that up with the story. And if they write more, if they do more illustrator fantasy type illustration, then they'll be matched up with a fantasy story that was a winner, not with hard sci-fi, because they're not going to, they're out of their comfort zone at this stage of being able to do that. So we also want to give them a leg up on being able to really shine. So, because this is their introduction to the professional world. So we also try to match up with what they illustrate with the type of story, because we have so many different types of stories that are winners. It's like you have, you know, different types of illustrators. I imagine it might work where the fit wasn't just right, but by and large, what I've observed, especially once they meet each other, these guys become great friends for life.
That's amazing. The next thing I wanted to talk about was you've been mentioning some of the big people who've been on. I've actually met a few people like Larry and Kevin. When they're doing the workshops, do they know who the people are? I mean, are they part of the process of selecting them? Or
yes. So in terms of the selection of the winners?
Yes.
Yeah, so the way it works is you have a first reader, and we just brought on board a new first reader because the contest is, like I said, growing so much. We have entries from over 160 countries now. It's mammoth, and that's why we also will issue 100 plus honorable mentions and finalist certificates, because there are so many great writers. And just as a sidebar here, editors will now look on somebody's resume. If they say I was a finalist or an honorable mention in Writers of the Future, that can act to take a person's work out of the slush pile alone, just that alone, because it's so reputable right now, the contest, that an editor knows, okay, these guys are really, you know, the top of the new and upcoming. If they're a finalist or an honorable mention, then okay, they're worth reading. But anyway, so what happens is that we have a new first reader now. That's Carrie English, who was one of our winners a couple years ago, an amazingly, you know, lovely, lovely lady, and really is into helping, you know, new writers. And it's somebody I'm sure that, you know, Lindsay would like to introduce you to her, because I'm sure you guys will hit her off, because you both have such a similar mindset to, you know, from our pre-talk. But anyway, so she now goes through, and she'll go through and do the initial read, and then they all go to the coordinating judge, which is Dave Wolverton. Dave Farland is his pen name, and then he'll sift down further, and then those stories that have been sifted down are sent to any of the several. We got, like, on the writers' contest, we have about 25 different judges, so they're sent to different judges, and then they vote based upon, you know, what they see in terms. Originality plays really, really big. And one thing that doesn't work is copycat stories. Or, you know, that's the thing that's like, okay, we're not interested. This is originality, and it's a chance for people to really shine with creation. And interestingly enough, in Writers of the Future, what you read in this volume is going to be the trend 5 or 10 years from now, because these are the guys that will be writing it. So steampunk, which got big a few years ago, that was, you were reading steampunk in Rise of the Future 5 years, 10 years before it became the rage. So anyway, so then that goes to the judges, they do it. And at the very end, when you have the 12 stories, the 12 final stories in the book, in order to determine who's the grand prize winner, the stories, you know, the grand prize, the stories from are sent to all the judges, and then they all turn in their votes on it. And then when it's at that point, it's like all the judges say, okay, this is the first place, and that's how you get the first place winner, the grand prize winner for the writer contest. And similarly for the illustrator contest, this is pretty much the same way.
It's funny because you mentioned steampunk. My introduction to steampunk was really bizarre. I was at a convention, and I had a table, and my books were out, and this guy came over, and he was looking at my books, and he bought one, and he says, you know, I just wrote it's a steampunk book. Would you like to read it? And I said, sure, and I'm grabbing my purse so I could pay for it. He goes, no, here, it's free. And I go, but I don't even know what steampunk is. I don't know if I'll like it. I don't think it's fair for you to give a book. No, it's okay. And he's a good friend of mine now. It was like, oh my God, that was my introduction. It was a really good story too.
It's actually interesting enough because our book cover a few years ago was a steampunk book cover on it, and Tim Powers, who was one of our judges, he was one of the ones that actually coined the term steampunk. And there was an essay in that year's volume about the history of steampunk, how it actually got started.
Oh, isn't that funny? But I was like, I don't even understand. I've heard people talk about it at the convention and online, but I don't know what it is. I don't understand it, so I don't know if I'll like it. And
yeah,
he says, oh, just read it. It's very female-driven and feminist, and I think you'll like it.
Yeah, volume 32 of Rise of the Future has a steampunk cover, which was done by one of our Sergei Poryakov is one of our illustrator winners from – he actually won the year that the Iron Curtain came down. We were able to get him over from Ukraine because at that point it was USSR. So he did the cover on that, and the article has Where Steampunk Started by Tim Powers. So it's in that's in volume 32. It gives a whole history of how steampunk actually got started.
That's funny. I have to ask The Galaxy magazine. How is that the magazine my dad used to get in the 70s when I was a kid? Is it the same one?
No, it's the same title, but he took it over, and so he's created it again now. So it's the same objective, and you know, he publishes the short fiction, and he's been a Writers of Feature contest judge now for, I don't know, probably 8-10 years, and he just, like I said, all these winners are, they're his kids, you know, so he's got all these, his kids now, and so he publishes them and helps them get their start, and he does the collaboration, but it's Galaxy Edge, but that's not the same as before, but he's keeping the name alive.
That's funny. I just remember stealing the book from my dad's side table and end table, because he used to have like a little shelf underneath that he used to dig out. I'll take a Galaxy magazine. I'll take a Tarzan. I'll take not Enders. What was his book back? He liked Isaac Asimov. He had a lot of his books there. But he had like a little selection down there, and that was one of the things. He had a stack of Galaxies. So I just was curious if it was the same magazine.
Yeah, it's the same name, but it's been morphed since into this other thing here. That's why, you know, you've got these judges. They're so supportive of the Writers of the Future program because, and I'll just, this is my, you know, just saying it straight as it is like the contest takes anybody that submits to the contest just on the merit of the work. There's no judging. There's no, you know, a person could be anything as long as they're a good writer or as long as they're a good artist. That's all of that. That's the only criteria. We have had a few people before where, especially the illustrators, we had a few people we couldn't bring out because they were in jail. You have no idea who's submitting. So you just anybody.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's just like, we'll take anybody. It doesn't, there's no prejudging of anybody with this contest. So if a person wins, it's because they're a good writer. And that's just the simplicity of it. So you've got like the judges that are so supportive of L. Ron Hubbard and this program, because there's nothing else like it anywhere out there. There's always, you have these other programs. There's an entry fee. Well, there's no entry fee for this contest. You have, you know, you're competing with other professionals. Well, no, you're competing. It's the playing field has been level because you're not competing against other professionals. These are other amateur authors that you're doing, and that's why from all the different judges that we've had, we'll always say, read the Writers of the Future volume so you can see how good you have to be a winner, you know, because that gives you your marking of what was good enough or not good enough. So if you compete with that level, then you're good enough to be a winner. And so how do you introduce a character in a short story? How do you handle pacing? All these things, you can see what was successful by reading Writers of the Future. What are the judges looking for? Read the Writers of the Future. So that's just something about the contest, is that there's nothing else like it at all. It is the most popular of all the different contests that exist, and it's got the best statistics of success of any program introducing somebody into the world of speculative fiction. I said it's free to enter. Anybody can go to writersofthefuture.com, which is a site that lists, we have all the last 34 years of the award ceremonies. You can see, you know, what the stories were, who the winners were. There's some really cool pictures going way back of some really major players in science fiction and fantasy that were involved with the program while they were still living. So, and that's why the biggest names in science fiction and fantasy are judges with this program. And it's interesting enough, when I first met, like, Rob Sawyer, when he won his first Hugo, this was at a world convention up in Toronto several years ago, he said, am I familiar with Writers of the Future? Let me tell you. And he told me, he used to enter, as a beginning author, he used to submit all the time to Writers of the Future. He was given a 3-page critique from Algis Budrys, which turned one of his short stories into a novel, which he sold and disqualified himself. Kevin Anderson entered all the time. Brandon Sanderson was a finalist in Writers of the Future, and he told me when I spoke with him, I helped teach one of his classes at BYU, that he was seriously considering giving up. And when he got his final certificate, he realized, okay, good, I got what it takes. And 6 months later, he sold his first novel and definitely has not looked back since then. So we've got a lot of our judges, you know, that got their start from the contest. Sean Williams is a winner. Dave Wolverton was a winner. Eric Flint was a winner. Nina Kricke Hoffman, Nadia Corfor. So there's all types of people that got their start from the contest that helped give them that leg off to keep on going. And that's what it's about. And the last day of the workshop, once the award ceremony is over, It's a PR thing. How do you do radio shows? How do you do a bookstore signing? How do you prepare for an event? How do you properly dress? What's the proper sound bites to use when you describe your story or your art? How do you deal with this? How do you answer this question? What do you do when you have a question you don't want to answer? We go over those things with them, and then we schedule bookstore signings for them so that they can actually get their start doing that. And we set up TV interviews and radio interviews. And then on the Rise to Future Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages, whenever somebody sends me their successes and major accomplishments, we immediately share that so that other people can get it. We had our first winner earlier this year. He had entered the contest 47 times. 47 times. That's how many years is that before he finally won? And another guy named Wolf Moon, who just, he didn't win yet, but he just got another honorable mention, and he did all of his certs laid out on his stuff, and he said, don't give up, don't quit. And I just shared a post yesterday. He sold another story. He was just over the moon, So that's the kind of stuff that's about, and that's what was originally envisioned by Mr. Hubbard when he created this contest, and that's what it's doing now better than ever before. And I said each quarter, every year, we have more and more entries, and it's becoming more and more popular. We're now a major feature part of DragonCon, where we've got a panel for writer contest, a panel for illustrator contest. The art show has given us a whole bay to feature all the winning art from our illustrator winners, and they're giving us a table to promote the contest. In Salt Lake City at the convention there, FanX, a little bit later on, we've got a panel there on Rise to Future because they recognize the importance of that, and they want to make sure we got the illustrators featured. So it's just it continues to grow and become more and more a resource for aspiring writers and artists to get that break as other avenues get closed down. So that's what we're so excited about, and that's why I so love being able to talk to you about this, Sherry.
I think it's exciting. But we're coming to the end, so I want to give you a chance to let people know, is there a new contest coming up, and how do they make their submissions, and what's the website?
Sure. So the contest is an ongoing contest. So we're at the end of the we're in the fourth quarter of the 35th year right now. So so September 30th is midnight is the closing time for the fourth quarter of volume 35. And then October 1st is when we start the first quarter of volume 36. So we definitely are encouraging people to submit. You go to writersofthefuture.com, and you can upload your story then. There's no fee. And like I said, you enter the contest. If you're an artist, same thing, you go to writersofthefuture.com, and you can upload your art there as well. You maintain all your rights to your story and all the rights to your art. That's not a problem there at all. You'll find out the winners are announced. It's usually about 3 months after the end of the quarter. So that's how that pretty much goes. It's that type of like, because it needs to go out. All the stories go to the judges, and they have to make a decision, and they come back and they get tallied, and then you have your winners like that. And, again, one thing that is highly recommended by any judge you talk to is get and read the books, because that gets what's good enough to be published as a winner. And every volume, there are essays from our judges. There's an illustrator essay. There's a writer judge essay, and one of the essays that were written by Alvin Hubbard that's in the workshop is also included in each volume. So every year you get amazing tips from very, very successful writers and artists on that's very much applicable and that you can use right now. So that's you can get those. Those are in Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. And, of course, you can get it at Rise to Future and help direct you how to find it.
That's really cool. And what's your website so they know where to go?
So you've got the writersofthefuture.com, and that's where you can go there and you can find out about the contest, about the various books, and then to buy it, I think the Writers of the Future will direct you, but you can also go to galaxypress.com or Amazon. You can find Writers of the Future, and all the volumes exist.
That's great. We're at the end. I know it goes really, really fast. I want to thank you so much for coming back. And can't wait to hear the next update.
Absolutely. For it. Maybe, like I said, with something with Carrie, because I'm going to introduce you regardless because she's such a sweetheart. I mean, I think you guys will definitely hit it off.
Cool. I'm very interested in chatting with her. Thanks, John, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.